Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday. I am so glad that you are with us on tonight, and I'm glad about the message that will go forth and that it may just penetrate our hearts. That's my prayer before every show, that welcoming God, Jesus, into the studio, and that he would just speak through me, that I could be still, get out of my own head, get out of my own opinions and different things, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak, to use me, to speak through me. So I try to die daily so that he can use me as he sees fit. I'm going to be sharing tonight, and I believe he has taken me in the direction that he would have me to go, and I pray that it will be a blessing to somebody. Somebody needs to hear this, because I speak to so many people, and this last winter season, and we know that winter in the natural starts in December, and I think it's December, January, and February is winter, and sometimes our winter could just be extended, especially in the spiritual realm. It could be extended. Sometimes we're in winter longer than we would like to be, and sometimes we're in winter longer than in the natural sense. Winter is over. You know, we know that. Then they have what they call Groundhog Day, where they bring out a groundhog, and that'll tell us how many more weeks of something we have, and so we do know that winter could drag on. It's so funny, because in the natural right now, we should be in spring, almost on our way into summer. And I remember when I was a kid how we remember certain seasons. As we had, they would used to say, April showers bring May flowers. And when I was a kid, that held pretty true. I remember April being where we would have, you know, the rainy season. And then in May, the flowers would bloom and be beautiful and vibrant. Spring, everything just came out of hibernation. The birds are chirping and butterflies are flapping and everything is just, you know, they normally in spring is when they say you can just, love is in the air, you know. And so spring is a pretty vibrant and colorful and you know, joyful season to be in. And everybody, I think it's not too many people that don't like spring. I mean, some people that deal maybe with major allergies or sinus, spring may not be the best season, but for the most part, we love spring. We got the sunny days. It's not as hot as the summer. Summer's beautiful, too, but, you know, spring is not as hot as the summer. You have your beautiful days, the warm days, and generally a little cooler nights. And just give me some things, but we're not going to talk about spring or summer or even fall tonight. We're going to talk about winter because this has been a cold winter for me, and I know it's been a cold winter for many. Like I said, I talk to people daily, and I hear people, you know, I know people have gone through. I've stood in prayer with people who have gone through various things in life, whether it's been, you know, loss of loved ones or loss of finances or just going through some things, you know, maybe loss of a marriage or relationship through divorce, just different things. Maybe kids are going through. But I'm still with a lot of people in prayer in this season of winter that have been going through and just wondering, my God, when will winter be over? When will this stagnancy stop? When will things, you know, begin to grow again? When will things change? And so I wanted to encourage you on tonight that though those are maybe some things we view as negatives, we view those as those trials and tribulations, those hard times, the winter. So I wanted to kind of help us get an understanding. I'm sure I've taught on winter before. When you've been doing something continuously for 8 years, you're going to have duplication. But what I've learned is that even in the duplications of the subject matter, the content has changed. So I'm noticing that maybe I talk, you know, I could go through my archive and I could pull up probably at least a dozen messages on seasons or winter or spring or what have you. But if I pulled up and just looked specifically for winter, I have those messages. But what I noticed is that though some of the content is familiar, some of it is the same, but it wasn't God in his uniqueness brought it to us a different way each time. He didn't keep bringing it to us the same way. And I love the fact that when we read the Word of God, especially in the New Testament, that Jesus, Yeshua, he spoke in parables, you know, and the parable, you know, and he spoke in parables, and those who got it, and those who didn't, you know, and he spoke to that, you know, some people have eyes, but they can't see, and some people have ears, but they can't hear. And so, but I love that he spoke in parables, and I mean, I've been saved a long time, but I could think of reading the Bible even as a younger child, and my understanding has grown over the years. For that matter, my understanding is growing weekly, it's growing monthly. You know, I would not classify myself as a theologian. So, you know, my show, when this idea of me being introduced to this platform, it was a show to share. It was a show that would bring practical principles unto perception based on the Word of God. What do you mean, Coach D? That means that I didn't start this show saying, oh, I want to pastor people. I didn't start this show saying, well, I hope this spins into a church. That I don't believe that that's my call, nor is it my desire. I think my desire has a kingdom basis, but my desire is just to see people whole. My desire is to see people processing through life's pain, because the one thing we all can agree on is that we can't stop pain. Pain will continue to happen in our lives as long as we're living. We're going to experience some form of pain. And so my compassion and my passion is to see people pass life's pain. And sometimes church is excellent. You need to be in a good word church, a church that's teaching the word of God, that's teaching, you know, biblical good doctrine. And but I know that going to church, and some of us is in church for hours, some is for 2 hours, you know, services vary. But I know that 2 hours on Sunday is not helping people process through life's pain. You're going to have to put some work in. And the work is not a work of religion. The work is a personal journey. It's a personal journey with you and God, or God and you. When you start the journey, it's you and God. It's me and God. Me and God. But as you begin to walk the journey and you begin to go through the process of healing, that journey begins to switch, and it goes swiftly from me and God to God and me. What you mean, Coach D? What I mean is that when we first go to God in this journey of pain and sorrow, it's about me. God, why me? Why did you do this to me? God, don't you see what I'm going through? God, this. God, can you do this? God, I need you to do this. God, I need this. God, this. It's all about us. And that's the way our babies are when they're born. It's all about them. They don't have the ability to rationalize that this world ain't all about them. They're babies. So it's natural, even with us, that we begin, once we got born again, that we were babies too. And everything was, God, I need you, God. Why are you doing this, God? I want this, God. We were babies. And so we reacted, and we responded like babies. That's natural. God understands that. But as we grow and we turn into toddlers, now a toddler doesn't have to cry because they're hungry. They can now say, I want food, Mommy, or I want food, Daddy. Mommy, I need to, my diaper changed, or whatever the case may be, or they know how to go to the bathroom. So same thing with us. We grow, and as we grow, we begin to shift, and now it's God and me. So now we're more concerned with our intimacy, our relationship with God. We become more concerned with what God needs from me, not what I need from God anymore, but what does God need from me? And so now my journey in life, years later, many years later, because I would not consider myself a baby in Christ at this stage, and I would probably say, I would like to say I feel like I'm a senior in Christ, but I'm not. But I would have to say I'm an adult. Now, we got different degrees of adult. You know, we got young adults. We got, you know, we got mid-age adults. We got our senior adults. So we got still different stages of adults. And so I would like to think that I'm adult at some form of maturity. I'm not all the way where I probably need to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Amen. So there's a maturity there now. So now my concern is not God, me. My concern is, God, what do you need from me? Where do I need to adjust? Where do I need to align? What should I be doing? What should I be saying? You know, now I'm questioning everything. I'm questioning everything, because right now my biggest concern is I need to make sure that I'm walking in the truth, you know. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine that I've been knowing since kindergarten. We call each other Sandbox. And everybody's not on the same page, but we got into me and this person, we get into these deep discussions. And so everybody got different truths, and I know that that person's truth is different than my truth. And but I believe wholeheartedly that there's only one truth, that there's only one truth, and that truth is I am Elohim, and Elohim is Almighty God. He's all in all. Everything that you see, everything that we see, that we use, everything, good and evil, was created by him. So he's all in all. He's Elohim. He's almighty. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everything. He's everywhere. When we breathe, we're breathing him. When we look, we're looking at him. When we see the trees and the air and everything, it's him. He's the matter. You know, we think everything is built up of atoms and neutrons and protons and electrons, and I'm not a scientist. I hate it. But I know there's some basis. Things are made up of. And just think about it. If he made all things, and even scientists, so let's talk about people that only believe in God. They're atheists or agnostics, I think. They don't believe, but yet scientifically they could break down certain things. But this is our God, and he created this thing, and it's amazing. Even if you think about how your body functions, how the brain knows how to give signals to various nerves and different things in the body, you know, that causes the body to pump, the heart to pump blood, and causes you to know when it's time to go to the bathroom or when it's time to eat. I mean, we're so unique. Just think of the detail of that, and it's all God. He said he created us in his image. So think about if he's all in all, what do you think he sees when he sees us? He don't even see us like we see us. We look at people, we could say, well, we see Freddie, the crackhead. When he going to get his stuff together? He dirty, he stink, he need to take a bath. That's the way we look from human eyes. But God don't look like that because he looks deeper. And so anyway, I got on the field there. But, yeah, so everything is God. He's all in all. So I'm going to get back to, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to get back to tonight's message. But anyway, the point I was making is that the purpose for processing the pain is just that, processing the pain. I love God, so it's going to be, you know, whatever's in us comes out of us, good and bad. You know, we all know we have areas that we have to work on. We all know we could do better. Some of us know that we're not operating in the fruits of the Spirit, you know, that we're not operating in the true definition of love, and those are areas that we're working on, or if you're not working on, you should be working on those areas, because as believers, it's important. It's important, and I think we talked about last week, which was an amazing show. It was an amazing show, and I should have actually, after the show, I should have opened up the floor for questions, but there will be other times. So tonight, without further delay, we're going to get into the message that I believe that God has for us on tonight, or what I want to share on tonight. So I was talking about the cold winter, and I was talking about the trials and tribulations, and my winter's been very cold. It's lasted forever. But guess what? I'm not complaining because I'm learning and I'm growing through. And even tonight but today, as I was finalizing the preparation on the show, I didn't realize how much I had grew until I started preparing for this show, that this last winter was a harsh winter for me. I would have to say a winter that I had never experienced before. I experienced some new things, some new attacks, some new devils. But in it, I grew, and God has an amazing way of confirming. He confirms through his word. And as I studied his word, he was confirming what I was already feeling like, man, I'm growing, have a peace, really that's passing all understanding. I have a peace. And right now, in the now, you know, I have a peace. I'm not afraid. I'm not fearing. I'm not wondering. I'm really having spent a lot of time worrying about what tomorrow's going to look like, or, oh, am I going to lose this, or am I going to maintain this? I haven't worried about that stuff. All I've been really consumed with is, Lord, what do you need from me? What's the next step? And this journey called life that you've given me, what's the next step? So let's get into this. First of all, I want us to just kind of look at winter. We've probably looked at winter before. Many of us know what winter is. I mean, you know, in the natural, winter is one of the four seasons. We only deal with four seasons, but winter is one of them. So we're going to just look at that winter, what it's like, what it is, what we could expect from it. But before I do all of that, I want to do what I always do, and what I always do is I start off with the word of God, with the word of God. So let's see here. We're going to go to Matthew. I'm going to go in Matthew. And I don't know, I was led to this parable, or this particular section of Matthew. And I know God is, I'm just going to be obedient, do what he tells me to do, get out of my own way. I'm laughing because I have another friend that I've been knowing forever. And I thank you, Denise, if you're listening in. I just want you to know her name is Denise, too. When we were growing up, she was big. She was big Niecy. I was little Niecy. But anyway, she supports Processing the Pain. I love her. I appreciate it. She shares it with other people. See, and I love it. If Processing the Pain has been a blessing to you, if you've heard messages that touched you, that grew you, that provoked you, that pushed you, that made you start thinking, just share with other people. That's all I ask of you. Just share with other people so that you could sow a blessing into somebody else's life. Somebody else may be listening in, and it could be a blessing for them as well. This show ain't for everybody, and I understand it. It's not going to be for everybody, and I get it. We got trillions of people in this world, and we got many, many pastors, teachers, ministers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, bishops, and each one of them have been called to a certain segment of people. TDJs can't minister to everybody. Juanita Bynum can't minister to everybody. Joyce Myers can't minister to everybody. You get where I'm going? So God has particular people for particular people. Amen? So thank you again, Niece, and others. I could go on a list of people that support Processing the Pain. The reason I brought this particular person up or kind of focused on them is because we had a conversation. And one of the things she said is sometimes you just got to get out your own way. She critiques me. And when I say critique, she gives me just as much deposit as she does withdrawal. And I like that. And I got many people that listen in on the show that do the same thing. But like my mentor, they listen in on Thursdays, and we always speak after the show. We speak daily, and they pour into me. You got to have people. When you're pouring into other people, you got to make sure you have people that's pouring into you. And the first entity that should be pouring into you is God, and he should be pouring into you through his word. That's the first. And then God will place people in your life, and those people that's in your life will pour into you as well. And you pour into one another. It says iron sharpens iron, and you want to make sure that you're around people that believe in you, that's pushing you, that's not going to let you lay down, that's not going to let you die, that's not going to let you wobble in the mud. That's not going to, yes, go hurt for a minute. You know, it says weeping do it for night, but joy come in the morning. You want those people that's going to say, get up. You can't sleep your life away. Get up. Jump it, you know, get dressed. Show up. and you want to have people in your life that's knocking on your door, that's ringing your phone, and I'm not talking about this necessarily, but you want people that's checking to make sure you okay, you good, and you want people to recognize who you are. You know, and what I mean by that is that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. You know, and sometimes people don't walk in their purpose because they don't feel like, well, I'm not a T.D. Jakes, or I'm not a Juanita Bynum, I'm not this person. And because they don't see themselves there, they won't do what God called them to do. So they'll stay in disobedience because they won't do what God called them to do because they're comparing themselves. You're comparing yourself, and God didn't create you in comparison. That was sin. Comparison came in this world with sin in Genesis 3 when they did what they didn't have no business doing, and then their eyes were open, and now it was a comparison. Oh, you got one of them. Oh, I got one of these. Ooh, you ain't going to see this. Oh, well, why mine don't look like yours? You know? So the spirit of comparison came in, but the spirit of comparison was a sin. And I'm not even, you know, I'm going to go back a little further that I don't even know that, I mean, I know it came in the earth then, but even in heaven, God was dealing with somebody that wanted to be him. He was dealing with, you know, something that he created that wanted to be him, you know, that wanted to be as good as God, that wanted to be noticed, that wanted to keep here where if you God and you could do this, then why can't I do that? You know, the comparison. And thus, you know, where this good and evil came from. But anyway, we want to make sure that we're doing what God called us to do and not comparing ourselves. I'm me. I'm Coach D. You know, there's other Coach D's in this world, but they're not me. They're not Gwendolyn Denise. So I'm me. How he causes me to blanket, how he speaks through me, how I blanket, the revelations he gives me. That's uniquely for me and for who the people that he bring in my life for me to be able to pour this into. So tonight, let's get back to Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to read 13. First, I'm going to read chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and then I'm going to skip down. So if you want to take your pens and paper, whatever. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. The birds came and devoured them, fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no roots, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now let's get down to 18. Matthew 13, we're going to skip down to verse 18, and we're going to read that through to verse 23. Here then the parable of the sower. We're going to explain in these next verses, explain the parable of the sower, which we just spoke. Here then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. Father, we thank you for your word. Father God, as we go forth on tonight, we just pray for revelation knowledge. Lord, that you would help us to understand what it is that you would have for us tonight. Father God, we thank you for the parable of the seed. And Father God, we thank you for strengthening us with that parable so that we could understand, Father God, that we are good ground because we are in Christ Jesus, and that the seed that's sown into us, the seeds that are planted into us, Father God, they were planted on good ground and that they will grow. So, Lord, I just thank you for your word tonight. You are welcome in the studio. Have your way, Father God. I submit to you as a vessel to be used by you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we just read 13. We all have read about that parable about this, about seeds and, you know, falling on, falling on not good ground and rocky ground and ground where thorns came up and choked it. But the focal point on this tonight is that I want us to remember as we get into this message that the reason I read that, and I'm not going to go, you probably heard this message a million times from different pastors, and I'm not going to go the direction you're going. I read this scripture because I want us to understand that because we're in Christ Jesus, and because we, as believers, you're in Christ Jesus, that means that you're reading his word. And you should be reading his words. You're studying his words. So you're good ground. You're good ground. You're building good ground. You know, sound doctrine. You're studying. You're showing yourself approved. So you're good ground, and you'll understand why later. So we want to understand about winning. And we all know winning. Woo! I'm not a winner, baby. I know some people that love the winner. They love to pull out their jeans and their coats and their boots. And, I could do winter for a couple of weeks. Because I do have some bad boots I like to wear. So I could do winter for a couple of weeks, but overall I'm not a winter person. I don't like the cold. But we do know that winter seasons bring a variety of adverse weather. Depending on what region you're in, the weather could be very extreme. We do know that the temperatures change in the winter. The temperature is going to become cold. We're going to deal with heavy snow in some places, ice accumulation. We're going to deal with freezing temperatures and wind chill factors. That, you know, if you've ever been to Chicago, they call it the Hawk because that wind could cut through you during that time. And, I mean, that wind is like a knife. It's chill factor and it hits to the bone. Winter storms are often called the deceptive killer. Why? Because many deaths can be attributed to the indirect adverse of winter. So, the winter weather. So we now define what winter is. We know, and we're going to find out a little bit more things about winter. I mean, I could go on a list about characteristics of winter. I'm not going to go on a list. I want to focus on some key factors. One of the characteristics that stood out for me about winter is that winter is the coldest season. Out of the four seasons, winter is the coldest. Winter is probably going to be the most gloomiest, and it's going to be gloomy. You know, you're not going to, not that we don't get sunshine in the wintertime, but generally winter is just cold, dead. Two, things stop growing in the winter, except for fat cells. So, but things stop growing in the winter. Winter causes a dormant state. We know that as hibernation. So we do know that generally in the winter months, especially when we got cold winters, that most things begin to hibernate. You know, animals and plants and different things begin to hibernate. They become dormant. And dormant don't necessarily mean dead, right? But they're stagnant. They're not growing. The third thing, characteristics that stood out for me is that nights are longer in the winter. Nights are longer in the winter. Now, I'm going to go back and break these down because we already explained what winter was, that it's one of the coldest seasons. And you know that because of the cold, it comes with weather, ice and snow and different things. So we already established that. Number two, we said things stop growing. And in our life, so we're talking about in the natural what winter represents, but it's the same in the spiritual, because when you're going through a season of winter in your life, it's generally a time in your life where you are, you might start questioning. Now, everybody might be different, but I'm saying some things I noticed with me when I've gone through some extreme winter spiritually. I start questioning, Lord, are you there? I mean, you ain't left me, have you? We know his word says that he would never leave us nor forsake us, but let's keep it real. There's times that we go through some stuff and it's like, Lord, are you there? You know, I done went through this, I done went through that, I'm going through this, I'm wondering this, and it just sounds like it's quiet. You don't even hear in the wintertime when it's a quiet coldness, you don't even hear crickets chirping. Everything's just silent. Crisp, silent. And so we've done that in the spiritual realm in the winter season where we're just, you know, that might be times where we find, if we can, some of us can't, but we might find that we get, I'm gonna use the D word. You know, we don't want, people don't want to go, oh, no, because I'm, you know, we got all the scriptures and all the two cliches, but some folks go through heavy depression in the wintertime. People are sadder in the winter. If you don't believe me, Seattle, Washington has a reputation of being gloomy. It always rains. Now, it's not, they have seasons, but I heard that it's very gloomy. It's always rains. And statistically, at one point, they were saying that they had the highest rate of suicides. And they were contributing that to the weather, the doom, the gloom, the constant rain and the sun not shining and various things. So we know that there's an element that comes with winter. And it's a scientific fact that it does. You know, it could get depressing. It could get sad. It could, you know, you could feel stagnant. You could feel, you know, you could just feel like you don't feel like you're progressing. You're not. Generally, in the winter and the natural, we hear that you're not growing. Now, I'm not saying that in spiritual, you can't, in the spirit realm, you can't grow, but it's typical for winter. Number three, nights are longer. It is, because when you're going through a winter season spiritually, it's normally, winter season is normally a season kind of tribulation spiritually. It's that season of tribulation. You're going through something. You're dealing with something, and it just seems like the night's going forever. How many have had nights when you're going through and you're tossing and you're turning and you're having conversations with God, you can't sleep, you're tossing and you're turning, you finally get to sleep, but then you wake back up because you're thinking about something. How you going to do this? Or how you going to do that? And now you're having those, you know, those 3 a.m. conversations with God, like, Lord, you know, are you here? Or can you, you know, is winter going to pass? And, you know, the night just seems long. Now, I'm talking spiritually, but we know it's a fact in the natural that winter nights are long. But in the spiritual, you're just going through, you know, and we know that you could be stressed during the day, but when you're going through something, it seems like it really hit at night. It really seems like that night, that late in the midnight hour. So we know we'd be going through that kind of stuff. So the encouraging thing I want you to know, with all the things that I just told you about the characteristics of winter, this, I don't even believe this message is going to be long. Many are going through some winter right now, and they're wondering, okay, we in the natural, we're supposed to be in spring now. Lord, when is my spring going to come? And I want to encourage you on tonight that your spring is coming. Winter don't last always. But I want to let you know that while you're in this winter, some things is going to take place. Some things are going to take place for your growing. You're not going to just go through something again going forward after this message on tonight. You're going to grow through your winters. You're going to grow through your winters. And I'm going to tell you why. Started with the seed. I thought about that as God was sharing that with me. I said, okay, Lord, you know, I heard the parable, but then I started thinking, starting with seed. Can a seed, what happens with a seed? What happens with a seed during the winter? And what happens with a seed in the wintertime is that it begins to germinate. Germination is the process by which an organism grows from a seed or a spark. So we said, even though we know or said that things hibernate and things don't grow in the winter months, I just wanted to say, let me just do some research. Let me find out. And it says, store the seeds in the fall and allow them to overwinter leads to early germination, so early growth process, and healthier, more acclimated plants. So I thought, wow, that what that said to me. I'm reading in the natural, but in the spiritual, that says to me that when we're going through those winter months, and though we're feeling the pain of it, when we grow through them, meaning don't get stuck, don't be like the people that, you know, that for the 40 years that were murmuring and complaining, and they wasn't seeing what God was doing in it. They didn't have the ability to see. Remember we said, he who have ears, let him hear. And if people got eyes, but they can't see, they got ears, but they can't hear. They wasn't able to see what God was doing in the midst of it. And a lot of times we'll get stuck in a situation because we can't see what God is doing because we're so focused on the negative of what's going on. We're so focused that it's too cold. We're so focused that it's too gloomy. We're so focused that it's too gray, that we're not focusing on what is God doing in this moment. What is he doing in this season? Lord, what is it that you want me to get in this season? What am I? I don't want to stay here long. But I know that until I get what you got for me, I'm going to be here. And many of us are staying in the winter longer than we need to be in the winter because we can't get out of our own way. We can't positively look at, God, what are you doing in this season? We stunt our germination. We stunt it. And so we need to realize that just because we're in the winter and just because things look the way they look, that there's some internal things that's going on. Remember, let's go back to the fact that we're in Christ Jesus, right? So we already know that because we're in him, you know, that God, we know that God is working all things together for our good, right? Because why? He's working all things together for our good because we love him and we are called according to his purpose. So we got to remember that. We got to remember we are good ground. We are, you know, we are chosen. We are a kids of the king. So we are good ground. So the seed that's on a spell on good ground is rooted deeply, right? So even in the winter can't come around and kill that seed. It can't come and damage that seed. That seed is in us. And even though we can't see it, you know, when you plant a seed and you put that dirt over it, you don't see nothing else. As far as you know, it ain't nothing. It don't exist. It ain't nothing. You can't see nothing. If you plant a seed at 9 o'clock in the morning, and people came around at 12, they don't know that seeds have been planted. The only way they might know is because maybe they see fresh dirt, and if they know anything about planting, they might say, okay, this is some really fresh dirt right here. Maybe they've been doing something, but they don't know what kind of seeds you plant. They don't know nothing. Because there's nothing there, right? It looks dead. Nothing. Nothing's there. Nothing exists. But we know the reality of that is that underground, there's something going on. There's some processes that's going on. So, again, God is encouraging you that even though what you're going through, don't be discouraged because there's some things, he got some things in the spiritual realm that's going on your behalf. So you're not counted out. You're not dead. You know, they have a saying that say, they, you know, the devil thought he buried me, but he didn't realize I was a seed. But guess what? You're a seed. You're a seed. You're a seed. And you are in good ground. So what happens with seed that's in good ground? According to Matthew, it tells us that those seeds took root. They grew. They produced. Some 60, some 100, some, you know, it told us. It was productive. So you're still on the map. You still belong to God. You still mean something to the kingdom. You're not dead yet. You're still here. Take a deep breath. And if you could take a deep breath and you could blow out, you're still here. Your seed is still capable of producing fruit. It's capable of what God created you for. And there's no winter season that you could go through that's going to cause that to change. But you, we could cause it. We could self-sabotage. We could abort. We could cause us not to allow the process to take place. And again, it said here that even when it's winter, the seed goes into a process of an early germination, and it's a healthier. Why? It's stronger. It's healthier. It endured the winter. Some of us is enduring the winter, and because we're enduring the winter, when our spring comes, our spring should be, we're taking something out of the winter, and we're bringing it into our spring. What? Knowledge. Not just knowledge, but the knowledge that you got the last fall, the knowledge that you got the last summer, the knowledge that you got the last spring, you're now bringing into this winter. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge applied. So it's not okay for us to just get the word. It's not okay for us just to get the knowledge and get the knowledge and get the knowledge. The key to get in the getting is to apply it. How many people have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to college? Education is great. Knowledge is great. But there's a lot of broke knowledge people that are not, that don't have good jobs. They spend $150,000 on a degree, but now they got a $12 an hour job, right? They got a $12 an hour job. They're barely making their monthly obligations. And not only that $12 an hour job, they have to pay for rent and utilities and medical and groceries and all this other stuff, also have to pay for that $150,000 debt, right? Not discouraging people for going to college, but what I'm just saying is that you could go to college, but if you don't apply what you learned, if you don't put it into practice, then it's nothing. There's no wisdom in it. So again, everything that we learn in this winter season right now, we're supposed to take that. We learned a lot. You learned how to endure. You learned how to be resilient. You learned that, guess what? Him leaving you, her leaving you didn't kill you. You're still here. You're also learning that when people that leave you that you love them. You're going to miss them. Yes, I'm not taking that lightly. I heaven forbid. But we also have to learn, too, that they went on. And if they were in Christ, guess what? They've gotten their crown. They've moved on. But you're still here. And just because somebody died, you can't, you're still here. Oh, I know. God, I said that. And I get it. It's hard losing somebody. None of us want to lose nobody. That hurts. But you're still here. God has it that you're still here. And whatever the purpose he has for your life is still, you still need to fulfill that purpose. So you're learning. You're learning tolerance. You're learning resilience, endurance. You could do it. You know, it didn't kill you. You're still here. Okay, I did it this time. So next time, you could go through it. You might do things a little bit differently. You know, if I go through a winter and I lose power, how many winters you think I have to go through and keep losing power? I'm talking about for long periods of time before I say, next winter, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to have a generator. You see what I'm saying? I learned that was a painful winter. It was cold. I got frostbite, but yet and still, I learned from it because now I know what I have to do to prepare. I know next winter, I'm going to be prepared. Next winter, I know that the little windbreaker I had this past winter, it didn't work. It didn't keep me warm. It wasn't insulated enough. So now I'm going to go shopping for me something that I know that's going to be stable. Now I'm going to go get me some Long John because why? They're going to keep in my body temperature. I know that this time when the winter comes, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to have my gloves. I'm going to have my hat on. I know because of the winter that I can't be walking around thinking that I could be cute with my toes out. I'm going to have me some boots because I've learned from experience. And I've taken the knowledge that I learned, and I'm applying it now. Now I'm operating in what? Wisdom. I'm operating in wisdom. And when we begin to operate in wisdom and apply that knowledge, now guess what we could do? We could help other people. We're not just self-sufficient. We're not just trying to survive for ourselves, but now we could be a blessing to other people. Because now I could come to somebody if they will receive it. But we know a lot of times people won't receive it. Our kids is a perfect example. We could tell them ahead of time, winter's coming, winter's coming, winter's coming. Don't wear it outside. You're going to get sick. Don't do this. Don't do that. We could tell them, don't. We could pound it in them, and they hear us and they don't hear us. They hear us, but they won't do what we tell them to do to get prepared. And then what happens? They have to experience it for themselves. We're the same way. God is telling us. He tells us how to get through something. He tells us what we need to do. He tries to prepare us, and sometimes we just don't listen. Even as I say this message, some people ain't going to like this message. Why? Because I didn't give a seven-point sermon. Some people ain't going to like this word. Ah, she using the word of God out of context. Who's her bishop? Who's her covering? What church she go to? Some people ain't going to receive what been said because they don't like my verbiage. They don't like my grammar. Oh, she used too many negatives. She don't have proper grammar. She might stutter. They going to be turned off. They're not going to listen to me. They might not listen to it because they don't think I'm cute or they think I'm ugly or they think I'm too, whatever. So it's always going to be people that's not going to listen when God is sending a message. But it's the people that can look beyond what they see to get the message, to get the knowledge so that they can apply the knowledge so that they can move forward in the things that God needs them to move forward to that gets it. It's going to be those people that's good. Forget the messenger. Father, that message is for me. Let me receive that message. Let me hear that message. Let me get the knowledge from it, and let me apply it. And if it could save me from going through the next thing, then let it save me. And I'm saying this, and I know that God is speaking this because even as I'm saying it, inside I'm laughing because I have mentors, and I spend every evening about 30 minutes with my mentors, 15 to 30 minutes, not a long time, just to touch bases and to, to pray. And my mentor will give me sometimes, not all the time, but give me something to muse on, something to meditate on, something to research or something. And there's things that he has told me, and I'm laughing because there's things that he told me, and I hear it, but I'm like, oh, I didn't do that, I hear it, but I don't hear it. And there's been times where it's things that he told me that I didn't take heed to, and then on the back end, I had to do double work. I had to do more. I had to maybe sometimes just lay on my face and cry because I didn't take the wisdom, I didn't take the knowledge and apply it. I didn't take the knowledge and apply it. So if you're listening in on tonight, and I don't know who it is, I don't know because I don't know who this pertains to, who this is speaking to, but take the knowledge. Take the knowledge that's here. You take what you could take from what is being spoken on tonight, not because of Coach B, because I'm nothing. I'm nobody, meaning it's not, but what I'm saying, take what you could take out of it and grow from it. Amen. Grow from it, knowing that, you know, yes, you're going to, guess what? If you just came out of winter, get prepared for winter going to come again because seasons come and go. And sometimes we have seasons that's premature. And winter seems to always be one of those seasons that's just premature. We know it's supposed to happen at a certain time. But I tell you what, it could get pretty cold in fall too. And we could get rain in fall too. Here we are right now, spring, and it's been raining like crazy. And we've had warm weather, but guess what? There's been times where we've been pushing 83, 86, and then all of a sudden it dropped down to 50. And we'd be like, wait a minute, what is going on? And so just like it, even in the natural right now, the seasons are all mixed up. We're experiencing things that put in places, remember the word of God is going forth. We're experiencing things that we never experienced. California's not known for tornadoes. It's not known for snowing in the inner city. You're talking about snow and tornadoes took place in places in California that's probably maybe 15 miles from the beach. Think about it. And the word of God tells in the last days there will be, you know, earthquakes in diverse places. We're going to be hearing about stuff taking place that's weird, what we call weird. But it's spoken. So winters may not be the traditional winters that we think that it's just, oh, winter's just going to last for 3 months and then it's going to be over. Winters might be extended in the natural and in the spiritual. So what have you learned from your last winter that could make you an expert in the next winter? What did you learn in your last winter that might give you some witty ideas for the next winter coming? I'm sure the person who thought of the shovel that shoveled snow off of the walkway, I just wonder when he came up with that idea, what kind of challenge, what kind of tribulation was he going through when he came up with the idea to create that shovel? What kind of trauma was the person going through that came up with the squeegee in the winter months that you do the de-icing? It's a spray for those of you that don't experience real serious ice winter. There's a spray that's called de-icer that you spray on your windshield. Now, some people go and throw warm water because it seems like it sounds naturally like that would make sense. Or if I got ice on my window, I'm going to go get some warm water and pour it on it. And that sounds, because what? Warm water would melt ice, right? But you could crack your window. And people that live in those regions know that. So they got a stuff that's called the icing, and they have chemicals in it that will actually melt the ice but doesn't affect your windshield, and then it makes it easy for you to use the squeegee to take the ice off the window. But everything that you look at, those people, do you know that most things were birthed out of adversity? Because people they were in an uncomfortable situation, and they didn't want to be uncomfortable no more. A lot of dreams and visions are birthed out of adversity. If you're paying attention, if you're paying attention, if you're obedient, because God speaks to us, but it's up to us to be obedient, to do what he's speaking to us. And he speaks to us, God speaks to us in the winter just as much as he speaks to us any other time. But sometimes we can't hear. You know why I can't hear God speaking in the winter? Because I'm shivering and I'm too cold and I'm complaining about how cold it is and I'm irritated and upset, because if the truth be told, some of us are mad at God that we got to be cold in the winter because we didn't prepare. Some of us we too busy complaining and murmuring with the next negative person that's complaining and murmuring that we can't even hear what God is telling us. And that's not what he wants. He wants us to be able to take each this season in winter. Where some of y'all is in winter right now. I'm headed out of winter. I am headed out of winter. And I'm going to take everything that I learned in this long winter, and I'm going to apply it into not only the next winter that will come, but I'm going to apply it. I'm going to make it work in spring. I'm gonna take some of it and make it work in summer. I'm going to even apply some of it with fall. And then I'm going to even be super duper ready for next winter. Next winter, we're going to have problems of itself. We're going to have brand new problems. And I'm going to have to come up with brand new ideas. But whatever I got, the wisdom that I got or the knowledge that I got in the last winter is now going to be wisdom in this winter coming up. Amen. 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick, and I'm going to start closing this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. So neither the one who, and I'm reading, I'm, and then you're going to ask me if I read this. Post D, why did you read that? 1 Corinthians 3, 7 and 8. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes them grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Why I read that? It's because know this, that it's God that causes the increase. Even as you've been a seed and you're planted, even in the winter you feel stagnant, but you're in germination. You're going through a process. And why I read that is because if it's God that causes the increase, then you got to know that it's God that got you in the process. And you got to trust the process. You have to trust the process. You have to trust that God. I'm saying this. We could say these scriptures and we say them because they sound good, but I want you to embrace this. I got to trust the process. I got to trust that God is working all things together for my good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. I got to trust that nothing could separate me from his love. Nothing. I got to trust that greater is he in me than this winter that I'm going through that's creating havoc. I got to trust the process. I got to trust. I said that he is Lord in my life, and we're good for saying, you know, God is, you know, he's the Lord of my life. We got to, if we believe that he's truly the Lord of our life, we truly believe that we belong to God, that we're kids of the king, we can sell this stuff, but we believe it, then we got to trust the process. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do for us as humans. But keep in mind, you're not just a human. You're a spirit. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. So you're a spirit housed in flesh. And sometimes we have to dig deep. The only way we're going to get to our spirit is by way of digging deep. And sometimes we have to dig deep. We have to dig deep and trust the process. So if I would have to say tonight, as we close this message, what was this message really about, Coach D? I believe the message tonight, we will have winners, some longer than others. But when we are in Christ, we are in good ground because we should be full of his word. So remember, we should be full of his word, and his word is seed. And when we're in his word, guess what? We're creating what? Good ground. So so you don't want to wait till winter to start, you know, while you're in the midst of a situation to start reading the word. I mean, it's good to read the word at all times, but I'm saying if you don't have enough word in you, then it's going to be difficult for you to stand when adversity hits. It makes it difficult. So when adversity hits, if you've been reading the word in the spring and you've been reading the word in summer and you've been reading the word in fall, then guess what? When winter comes, you word up. So not that it ain't going to hurt you, not that it's not going to be cold, not that you might not get frostbite, not that your electricity that it's not going to go out because it's going to go out. When rains get to pouring, we don't know. It could flood. Those things is prone to happen. But when you're full of the word and you got the word deep down inside of you, you trust in the process. You now speak the word. You can speak the word. You can stand on that word. And even in the darkest hours, you can stand on the word to know. Many of you are here right now. You've been through a lot of situations. The only thing that stops you from pulling the trigger or jumping off the cliff is your relationship with God. Because as much as it hurts you, as much pain is that you're in, as much discontent as you, even though you contemplate the idea of not being here no more by your own means, it was the God in you that would not let you do it. It was the God in you that kept you. It was the God in you that embraced you late in that midnight hour when you were just crying because you felt hopeless. It was the God in you that kept you. And as long as you keep making sure that you're getting God in you, I'm talking about his word in you, and you just keep filling yourself with the word, it's not, I would be lying if I told you that it's going to eliminate the pain. Because it ain't going to eliminate the pain, but it's going to help you get through the pain. It's going to help you process through the pain. You're going to trust the process. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. Father God, we want to thank you for your word on tonight. We want to thank you that you're such an amazing God. And Father God, that you knew from the foundation of the earth that we would be going through situations and circumstances. You knew from the foundation of the earth that we would have losses and that we would have gains. Father God, you knew that we would go through the things that we're going through. But Father God, we should count it all joy. Father, when you came down here in the flesh and you allowed us to be able to see that you're willing to go through, you're not sending us through anything. You're not allowing us to go through anything that you yourself wasn't willing to go through. And greater what you went through than what we even go through. So, Father God, we just thank you for the journey. We thank you that we belong to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have our best interest at heart. We thank you, Father God, that with every great adversity is an equal or greater reward. And Father God, I just pray on tonight that somebody got this message. That person that felt like they're not going to live to see another day, Father God, I pray that they was encouraged by this message. Father God, that person that don't think that they could get through another winter, I pray that they was encouraging this message. Father God, I thank you, Father, for your spirit. I thank you for your spirit. But Father God, your word says it is the anointing that breaks the yoke, Father. So we just thank you tonight for the anointing, for the revelation, knowledge, for the rhema word that went forth, Father God. And Father, we thank you that you have prepared us to get through yet another season. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in on tonight to this message. I'm going to start doing this at the end of my shows. I had multiple people call last week about the show last week, which was amazing. It's one of them things that makes you say, God, if we're in a season where we got to start thinking outside the box. We cannot be consumed in a box of religion and rituals and traditions. God is, he's calling us. He is calling us out of the box, you know, and I was advised last week by many, you know what, after some of your shows, you need to leave a little bit of time to give people opportunity if they want to speak, to speak. And I don't have a lot of time tonight, but I do want to take a couple of minutes. I'm not going to beg nobody to push one on their dial pad, but if you feel in your heart or in your spirit that you have something to say about tonight's message, this would be the time that you could dial one on your dial pad. That would let our team know that you have a comment or maybe even a question about tonight's message. I'm going to take a few minutes for to give people time that if you want to, some people listen in through the internet, and they may be some that want to call in real quick because they do have a comment about tonight's message. I'm going to give it a couple of minutes. Those that's in the studio, all you have to do is push one. And again, that'll let our team know that you have a comment about tonight's message. And if not, that's great. Like I said, I don't care about if you don't comment, because I just pray that whatever was said tonight ministered to you and that it was a blessing to you and that it was not just knowledge to you, but it's something that you could take and apply so that you begin to operate in wisdom. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to close out for tonight. We will be back. Let's see. I want to look at my calendar because I know that we have some I know that we have some, let's see here, some months I normally do every Thursday. On some months we got five Thursdays, and sometimes I will do a show, sometimes I won't. May is not one of those months, so next Thursday we will be back in the studio, same time, same place. June is one of those months, and I'll keep you all posted. I do want to make everybody aware that in the month of July, just to make you aware, the month of July, the week, let me say the week of the 17th, we will not, Processing Pain will not be here. I'm going to be traveling out of the country to celebrate my 60th. Yes, I said it, my 60th birthday. So I will not be here that week. So I just want to make you guys aware that we will not, on Thursday, July the 20th, we will not be airing. But I might be putting a pre-message so that those who want to could go online and listen to that message. Again, I want to thank you for participating or tuning in tonight's show. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Have a good night.